Brothers and sisters, please stand together for the reading of God's Word. We're continuing ahead in Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 13, looking at the parable of the shrewd servant again. This will be part 2, focusing on generosity. Please listen carefully. This is God's holy and infallible Word. He also said to his disciples, "There was a certain rich man who had a steward, and an accusation was brought to him that this man was wasting his goods. So he called him and said to him, 'What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward.' Then the steward said within himself, 'What shall I do? For my master is taking the stewardship away from me. I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg. I have resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses.' So he called every one of his master's debtors to him and said to the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' And he said, 100 measures of oil. So he said to him, 'Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then he said to another, 'And how much do you owe?' So he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, 'Take your bill and write 80. So the master commended the unjust steward because he had dealt shrewdly. For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." And thus ends the reading of God's Word. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. So as we saw last week in verse 8, our Lord Jesus Christ states the moral of this parable. The sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light. At that time, around AD 30, those outside the kingdom of God, those considered sinners by the Pharisees, were more careful, diligent, and active in securing their temporary physical livelihood than the sons of light were in advancing the kingdom of God. Jesus shamed the Pharisees by making it clear that they loved God less than sinners loved their money. And as we considered together last week, our generation in AD 2020 has also earned this same rebuke. The slumbering bride of Christ loves her comfort these days more than her king, while the diligence of sinners in this world shows they love their money more than the church of the Lord Jesus Christ loves her Lord. And we discussed how this coronavirus pandemic is being used by our Lord to shake his bride unto repentance, to awaken her so that she would return to him with pure hearts of devotion. In today's text, in verse 9, we will see how generosity with the wealth of this world displays our love and our worship toward God. As we peer even deeper today, we will see behind it all is God's matchless generosity beneath, around, and over us, surrounding us as we walk in this world as His stewards under the shadow of His almighty love. In verses 9 through 13, the Lord goes on from this parable and teaches some specific applications of the truth of this parable. Today we will look at verse 9, that we are to steward God's resources generously. Next week we'll look at how we are to steward God's resources faithfully. And after that, we will look at how we are to stewards steward God's resources lovingly. So first, this week, how do we steward God's resources generously? Verse 9 says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home." Brothers and sisters, what is meant by the word mammon? Bach tells us it's an Aramaic term for wealth or for possessions. It's not to be hoarded and used selfishly, but it is to be used to make friends. It's not just alms to the poor that are in view here, but the general use of one's money and wealth. The way to make friends from money is to be generous. Jesus parallels the disciples' situation with that of the parable. So as Christians, we can bless people with our resources with no strings attached, except to give glory to God in that transaction, except to point to the great generosity of God in that transaction of blessing. But brothers and sisters, what is meant by unrighteous mammon? Well, I'll tell you, it is not wealth that is gained by unrighteous means. That is not what is meant here. But rather, the emphasis is upon the corrupting and dangerous nature of physical wealth, of possessions. The only way to avoid being misled by wealth, mark this closely, is to proactively give it away, valuing friendships above possessions. Bach says the pursuit of wealth can make people selfish, cause them to take advantage of others, and cause them to be unfaithful to God. Wealth, being so attached to the world, this physical possession that we have is so attached to this world, it can tend to produce worldliness, worldly responses by keeping one's focus on this age, on this life, and on one's self now, instead of on the age to come and on God and on the souls of human beings. But what is meant by this phrase, when you fail? And we should mark this well, because brothers and sisters, we will all die. We will all die. Both our bodies and our physical resources have limits. The death of this body is inevitable. And there is great fear in this world right now of death. And we should all give great thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ for populating this earth with that little virus, and bringing the ever-present threat of death before the minds and the hearts of every person. This is nothing new. We should all live in the constant awareness that we could die any moment. Jesus is blessing us with this awareness. Wealth also can fail. It can be easily destroyed or stolen, as we are seeing. Christ is calling all the people of the world to spend their lives and their resources as simple stewards for Him. And brothers and sisters, when we do this, we will find the abundant, infinite treasures of heaven opened up to us. There will be an unending and unfailing outpouring of life and wealth to the people of God who serve Him in faithfulness as His stewards. You see, this life, This body, this 51-year-old body doing 52 push-ups, this is not mine. Your body that He's given to you, it is not yours. Your bank account and your resources and your land and your car and your possessions, none of it is yours. Every bit of it is given to you as a steward to spend for His glory, to enjoy spending for His glory, and you will find out over and over again that you can never outgive God. As you bless, as you serve, as you give of your life, of your time, and of your resources for His glory, you will find that His abundant life and presence and treasures are always there before you even think of it. He will be prepared to give before you make your decision to give. Matthew Henry says, "At death, we must all fail. When ye suffer an eclipse," that Greek word there, failing, has to do with an eclipse. "Death eclipses us all," he says. "A A tradesman is said to fail when he becomes a bankrupt. We must all thus fail shortly. Death shuts up the shop. Death seals up the hand. Our comforts and enjoyments on earth will all fail us. Flesh and heart fail. Proverbs 23, verses 4 and 5 tell us from God's Word, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Box says in his commentary, money ultimately fails. Money can and does run out. So one had best be prepared for when it does. The idea is that money does not last. Rather than relying on it, one should go ahead and put it to beneficial use straight away. What is meant, though, by they may receive you into an everlasting home? Brothers and sisters, the faithful soul flies home to heaven at death. So they, in this text, is likely a reference to the glorious angels accompanying our souls to God's presence in heaven when we die, where we are ushered into our everlasting home, into the presence of the saints gone before us with eternal joy. Bach says, God responds to disciples who love their neighbors with concrete action, even down to their use of money. Such disciples evidence an active walk with God that is a product of a faith commitment to Jesus Christ. The disciple is aware, brothers and sisters, we are aware of our heavenly reward, and we respond appropriately. God will reward the person who is generous with money. Not only will he be there constantly providing you everything you need to be his servant and his steward, but as you're doing so, he is placing crowns in heaven for you. And he will reward every act of faith that you carry out towards him. Every time you give and you look at your checkbook and you think, maybe this is foolish, maybe I shouldn't be doing this, but I am instead looking at the treasures of heaven and I'm going to bless this person. I'm going to give in a way that hurts like the Lord Jesus Christ did. I'm going to give in a way that hurts like the Father of glory did. This is how we express true Christian generosity, is in imitating God and His generosity to us. Matthew Henry says, it ought to be our great concern to make it sure to ourselves that when we fail at death, we may be received into everlasting habitations in heaven. The habitations in heaven are everlasting. They're not made with hands, but they are eternal. Christ has gone before us to prepare a place for us, for those are His, and He is there ready. Jesus, our Lord, is there ready to receive us at our death. He will not be late for that appointment, nor will be His angels or His saints to usher us into His presence, into the bosom of Abraham, ready to receive us there when a guard of angels carries us to that great place. A choir of angels is ready to receive us when we arrive there. Brothers and sisters, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I will tell you that for me during this time of coronavirus pandemic, the joys and the bliss of heaven awaiting us and the freedom from the sin and the draining ugliness of this life, I am longing for heaven. Has anyone else felt that during this time? I am not afraid to die. I don't want to die because to live is Christ. But if He takes me, it is gain. And every one of us should walk every day with that kind of gladness, knowing what awaits us in heaven. As we live our lives, we need to focus in today's sermon this concept of joyful anticipation of heaven upon how we spend our resources. 1 Timothy says it this way, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. And I will tell you, every one of us sitting here, we are rich in this age. Every one of us in this age have surplus beyond what we need. We are rich in this age. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Brothers and sisters, you need to see from today's sermon that how you manage your money is a doorway into heaven for you. How you manage your money is an exhibition of your faith towards Jesus Christ. And the text tells us, you are storing up for yourself a good foundation for the time to come, that you are laying hold on eternal life by how you choose to view and spend your physical resources in this life. So, motivated by God's great generosity toward us in Christ, overflowing with His life in us and through us, we here can actually enjoy spending wealth for His glory at all opportunities, proactively searching out ways to be generous as He was generous to us in Christ. You know, there are those who are spending their time and resources right now making special N95 respirator masks for people. I sent that to you. That's one way that we see people spending their time and their resources to be a blessing to others. We come to see every transaction, brothers and sisters, as a way to display the gospel. And as we steward generously, looking ahead to God's generosity at the end, at our soul's exit from these failing bodies, eclipsed then by death, we know we will be brought into endless delights under His abundant generosity, into His invincible bright light, never to be eclipsed again. From first to last, His loving generosity is all in all. And as we sink our faith into who He is, we will walk generous as He is generous. So in verse 9, Jesus shows us how the shrewd activity of the steward from the parable serves as an example for how we can steward God's resources similarly. We can also repent of our selfishness and our greed and go on instead to be very generous with God's resources, laying aside our own gains, taking a personal loss in order to make friends with others here in this world during our lifespan. Brothers and sisters, generosity with no strings attached is an essential element of true friendship. These relationships are of much greater value than the physical possessions we generally generously sacrifice for one another in our friendship with one another. But our bodies and the physical possessions of this world will surely fail us. Yet our God-centered generosity, born of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, goes on before us as we at death will be received into God's eternal home. So some questions by way of application to know and to love and to obey God. Let's bring it home a little bit. I'll ask you, what is the opposite of generosity? It is stinginess, is it not? Hoarding for self, being miserly. I heard a dismaying story of wicked physicians hoarding medications when they found out that hydroxychloroquine could be a treatment for the coronavirus. Shame on them. Shame on them. They violated their oath as physicians. That is an example of the opposite of generosity. I will ask you another question. What is a counterfeit of generosity? What is a counterfeit of generosity? Fake generosity. Well, I'll tell you, it's manipulation. Giving only to get for yourself. It's like flattery with money. It looks good. You might get accolades for it. But you are not motivated by God's generosity. You're not motivated by your love and gratitude to Jesus Christ and your hope to display His glory through this act. Even worse, you're trying to look good while being bad. What is the source of stinginess and manipulation? From whence does it flow? It flows from your fear of poverty, and your fear of death. That is where stinginess and manipulation originate. And that foul place of darkness and filth within you, filled with fear of poverty and death, will continue to spout forth. And you will be stingy, and you will manipulate others just like this culture teaches you to, until the love of God has been poured out in your heart. Do you see how fear leads to self-reliant stinginess and manipulation? How it leads to the worship of your goods and your possessions? What is the name of this cultural sin? It is materialism. And it is the heartbeat of America. It is the worship of wealth. And it has infected the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, it has infected every person sitting here listening to me today. It's a greater threat to you than the coronavirus will ever be. It has infected everyone listening to me through Facebook land. If you live in this culture, you cannot social distance far enough to keep from being infected with this foul illness. And I will tell you, there is no hope for you or for me apart from God's love. That is our only hope. And I will tell you for sure that this worship of wealth and this materialism is closely tied to the grief and the anger of the Lord Jesus Christ towards this world and towards His bride at this moment in time. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and according to the authority of His word, I command, Jesus Christ commands, and I as His witness join with Him in commanding all men everywhere to repent and to return to Him with pure hearts once again. Brothers and sisters, how do we repent of this sin? I'm talking to you. I'm talking to me. How do we repent of this sin? Well, first of all, you need to acknowledge it before God. Isaiah did this. He said, I live amongst an unclean people. I have an unclean, my lips are unclean. Lord, here's a good prayer you could pray. I am surely fearful and idolatrous about money. Show me how it's true, Lord. First, you have to acknowledge that just by living in this culture, the clouds and the filth of materialism have soaked into your bones. And that you and I both are absolutely for sure so pickled and marinated in this that we are drunk and blind to the reality of it. Whether we're miserly hoarders or whether we're manipulating givers. So first of all, is acknowledge it before God. If we are going to be a part of responding rightly to the Lord Jesus Christ at this time, let us examine our own hearts, brothers and sisters. Let judgment begin at the house of God. Next, after you have admitted this to God, you might say, Pastor Clark, I don't see this about myself. I'm generous. I like to give. I love the blessings of giving to others. I say, praise be to God for His good work in your life, but it can be deeper. It can be fuller. It can be broader. You can have greater faith. You can have a purer heart. So number two, you seek this repentance out in your personal life with God's help and in your family life. You go home today and you talk to your family members about this sin. You say, Lord, guide us. Guide me through my soul and through my behaviors and show me my motives with my money. Show me my fear. Show me my self-reliance. Show me where I may have been miserly and stingy. Show me, Lord, how I may have given in a manipulative fashion. Show me, Lord, any of these things in my life, and purify my heart, God, and bring me back to you, Lord. Next, simple. Anticipate Him to answer. And when He does, confess the sins that He shows you. You know, confession means to speak the same thing back to God. He will show you your sin and you will say, "Yes, Lord, I see it." And you will say to Him, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And He will take you deeper into this life of repentance and faith. And finally, all repentance is a putting off and a putting on. Put on generosity and love. How do you do this? Meditate on His abundant and generous love. Dive deep into the endless ocean of His abundant love and treasures for you, Christians. Go there now. Go there tonight. Go there tomorrow. Go there every day. Keep drinking of His love and His great pleasure over you, and His promise to pour out the treasures of heaven upon you as you do His will. And then what will happen is you will go on and you will imitate Him with a life of sacrificial generosity for His glory. You will do things like what the Father did when He gave His only Son. You will do things like what the Father did when He turned His back upon His only Son upon the cross in the midst of His suffering and His death for you. You will do things like what Jesus Christ did when He put on flesh and stepped into this world of misery with us. You will do things like what Jesus Christ did when He wept over the death of a friend. You will do things like what Jesus Christ did when He voluntarily took the mocking and the scourgings and the beatings and the humiliation and the death of the cross. You will live this life, brothers and sisters, when you meditate upon these things. And in it all, you will find therein is your joy. Therein is your gladness. Therein is your happiness. Therein is your strength. Therein is your sure and certain pleasure in God Himself in the midst of this kind of life. You will meet God Himself in that place. I will end with this scripture. Romans 8, starting at verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Almighty and gracious Heavenly Father, we do say praise and glory and honor be unto You forever and ever and ever. You show us generosity, Father. You deliver us from our selfishness through the generous sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. And in His resurrection, we are granted the power from Your throne to live according to the outpouring of Your generous Spirit upon us, to see with eyes of faith, to see the treasures of heaven, the life of God poured out upon the people of God. We see through Your creation. We see through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and His resurrection. We see with the eyes of faith that we are safe in Your arms, and that You will feed us and You will care for us and You will pour out Your abundant treasures upon us as we do Your will, acting in a generous and loving fashion as You displayed for us in Christ our Lord. Oh, we worship You and we praise You in this day, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.